Well, this morning we want to look in the 148th division of the Psalms. I ask that you would turn there with us and read 148th Psalm. We're going to try to read the entirety of that psalm, all 14 verses, this morning. It says this: Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. How to conclude our reading this morning of the 148th division of the Psalm. And if I could title the message today, it would be perhaps a little bit of a strange title, but it would be the 151st Psalm, writing your own psalm of praise. If you'll notice on the same page that you're looking at, likely, or the next page over, that there are 150 psalms that the Bible has recorded. And this psalm, I believe, like many that sound familiar to this or similar to this, it's easy for the mind to comprehend what's been written. Sometimes if you pull out your Bible and you begin to read a psalm like this, or perhaps if you just glance over at the next two psalms, you'll see just very simple thoughts that are easily comprehended by the mind. But I think if we trace this psalm back to the heart of its author when it was written, the truth of it will really resonate with us. There are times when God unveils all the blessings that encompass us. They're just perhaps daily conveniences, perhaps routine pleasures or normal things that just day to day and months and years and decades pass, and we enjoy these things and we see the beauty of creation, and it doesn't mean anything to us. We know it's beautiful, and we know God's grandeur is displayed in the majestic beauty all around us. And though it piques our mind, and though it causes us maybe to think and acknowledge, there are these rare times in our life where God's Holy Spirit helps us to see with great clarity the wonderful person that God is through what He has done. Sermons, testimonies, songs that aren't filled with some really deep theology often come out. It's just simple words of praise from a full heart. I imagine David writing this with an energy and an enthusiasm that he can hardly contain, because everywhere that he looks, he sees something to praise God for. He looks out his window and he sees the beauty of God's creation, and he wants to write about it. And he looks and a steward comes in to attend to his need, and he wants to praise God about it. And he thinks of the sins that he had committed in times past and all the damage that it had done, but how God had seen him through with his mercy and grace, all of the things that God had done. And he wants to write about it. And he looks up to the heavens and he begins to see, as the sun begins to set and the stars and the moon comes out, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. I just want to praise the Lord. How can I write a short little sonnet or a short little psalm of praise when there are so many things bursting forth worth praising God for? And to truly comprehend the depth of this psalm, we cannot try to ascertain its meaning with our minds, but rather to sense it in our hearts through the Spirit of God." Because praise erupts from the depth of our being when God reveals His glory to our hearts. This psalm, I love. So, if I'm being real honest, as I used to avoid reading the psalms. I didn't find them very interesting, if I'm just being honest, when I was younger. And I've gotten older, I've appreciated them a whole lot more. Because contained within this hymnal, I think most, if not all of you, know that these are songs that are written. And so these, for thousands of years now, all throughout the world, they have been sung. And I think it would do us well to perhaps go find some of the find some of the melodies that have been applied to these psalms. It's a powerful experience to sing the psalms. It's a joyful experience to sing words that were penned by God, because God wrote them. And one of the beautiful things about the Psalms that you can go back and read is the vast diversity of emotions that are expressed through the Psalms. David seems to me to have been a rather emotional person. Not in a bad way. He felt life deeply. And God gave him the gift at a young age to be able to write or sing or play music. And anyone who has been gifted with that ability knows the pleasure that it can bring. Just as Saul called in moments of trouble for David to come and play the harp, how his heart was so troubled, and yet as those melodies came off of that harp, there was something that it did deeper than the mind. It quieted the distress of the soul. David would sing and write these songs, psalms, and play these psalms, and it would speak to a part of a heart that is inexpressible with words alone. And it's amazing the diversity of emotion that he experiences and how well that he can concisely contain it within just a few letters in Psalms. There are times where he takes us to the depths of suffering or distress, but it's not just suffering, it's a wide variety of suffering. Suffering because of his own sin and how he had done things against the will of God, and how he knew what he had done, and how he had offended God not just once, not just twice, but many times over, committing the same sins which he had asked God and received forgiveness for. And yet he comes with the lamentation that, "God, I have sinned over and over and over. Why would you look down upon the cry that I have if I've sinned so many times? And what a way to express a familiar tone to anybody that walks with the Lord. He talks about betrayal. His own family, his close friends, betraying him, blood being shed, and all the diversity of problems that are provoked by such a situation, David would sit down and write a psalm about betrayal. He wrote it about, at times, he was contemplative. That period of life, there, those seasons of life you get in where things that are not necessarily of a distressing nature are confronting you. They're just, there's a problem or there's a need and you don't know what to do about it. And David would express in his writing this contemplation, Lord, if I do this, this occurs. And if I do that, this occurs. And I desire to do that, but I don't have the ability. And why won't you allow me to accomplish that which is in my heart? And so he has this contemplation that he is ironing out and working out with God. And he can't quite find a settled resolution in his heart, despite the fact that he trusts God in the midst of his contemplation. There are times where he's overcome with unusual fervor and passion for justice. And he sees the wicked prosper, and he sees the meek and the lowly and the salt of the earth just being distressed and stamped out and persecuted. And he doesn't have the power to bring about justice, but he knows that God does. And he goes to God in these powerful prayers of psalms, crying out, God, bring justice to those in need. Bring peace to those widows and those orphans that have needs. God, please be a God of justice. And the passion flows out of him. And the psalms just before this, if you'll turn there, in verses or in chapters 140 through 143, David is, he's crying out for help. Look at verse 140, it says this, chapter 140, it says this. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. It continues, and you can see the spirit of the psalm as he is crying out to God for help from his enemies. Look at 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. Hurry up. Make haste unto thee, unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. How many times have your heart cried that prayer? Lord, help me. But hurry. Hurry. My children are lost and they're running from God. And I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and they're not responding. And it seems as my prayers are just dissipating as the smoke gets just a few feet above the fire. My prayers just are meaning nothing and they're getting nowhere. Please hurry. How many of you have prayed at a hospital that same prayer in an urgent situation? Lord, I need your help now. Look at 142, chapter 142, the beginning of it. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walked had they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. What sorrow of heart. I'm going to keep on going for just a moment. Look at 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. You can see this chunk of Psalms is placed together, and it's all of a familiar melody. Sorrow and need is coming up before God. See, these Psalms also double as a instruction for how that we pray. Because what we see in the Psalms through David and through the other authors is that they don't hold back and restrain the honesty of their heart, even when the honesty of their heart is wrong and in sin. God, you have betrayed me. Now, David knows that these things are not true, that these emotions are deceptive, but what he's expressing is the true feelings of his heart towards God. Not a beautifully packaged King James Version translation prayer, but one that, as Moses spoke, is a friend to a friend. That comes and says, I know that you don't intend evil against me, but it sure feels like it. And bitterness is coming up into my soul against you and against those that I love. And God, if this doesn't start, then I'm going to drown in my own bitterness. What a template for prayer. And I'm thankful that he not only put that as a prayer, but he put this into psalms, into song, to so poetically express to us the depth of the human heart and emotions. All through the Psalms, they're layered into different books, actually, little composites of books that all form the one. And very often you'll see that they have themes in those chunks of books. But I want to pivot this morning. The last six Psalms. Last seven Psalms. And I want to, the title of our message is the 151st Psalm, Writing Your Own Psalm. Because despite the roller coaster of emotions and the vast display of feelings that he expresses to God for Israel to sing, both about his personal lot and their collective lot as a nation, I love how he ends the Psalms. And it's a lesson for all of us that God permits us to feel deeply and to express honestly the conditions of our heart. But that ultimately God desires to bring his people to the same place where the psalmist himself concluded his hymns. He concluded it with psalms of praise. Because as people of God, what we know is that regardless of whether our roller coaster of life is rather tame and calm and slow, or whether God takes us through a, like he did to David, a tormenting process of sanctification, both caused by God's own will and our own sin, regardless of it, let all people in the end that know God come back to a familiar hymn, and that is one of absolute praise for who he is. I want you to know this morning there is power in praise. There is a great power in praising God. Right? There's all types of prayer, and I think very often people get discouraged from praying because they think the one avenue that prayer is just being just supplication. God, here is the need for the world. Here are all the people that I'm interceding for. Please help us with this. And as we go through those steps of prayerful supplication, we find those to be heavy burdens, because as we pray often, the weights through our remembering all the needs in the world grow, the weight of our heart greater and pressed down deeper upon all the brokenness in our own life and the lives of others, all the situations that eternal things are at stake. And so if your prayer is 90% supplication, you're going to be somebody who doesn't want to pray, because the weight and the pain and the difficulty of supplication is very real. It is not easy to pray if you're always asking God for help, because that is where the burden of this life is found. But our prayer should be not just supplication, but one aspect of it should be praise. Praise is not light. Praise picks us up. We don't have to carry praise. Praise carries us. My lips were created for praise. Music, all music, earthly and heavenly, was created for praise. Because when this world is wrapped up and it's all this whole, all the elements are dissolved. Did you know that all other music will be gone, even religious music, except one: praise. All through heaven, the songs will have a theme, and it will be praising God. And the psalmist here, as he goes up and down and up and down, and I'll say this, there are seasons where all those things are appropriate. There are seasons where we sing songs of mourning, and it's appropriate and right. We're permitted, but not only permitted, we're commanded to do that. I don't expect to be at the funeral of someone that you love and have somebody saying, "Well, praise the Lord." Maybe God will grace them with that spirit. But the loss of this life, even if we know that somebody is saved, can be real and painful. And we have permission to express that in songs of mourning. What were they called back then? Dirths? Is that what they were called, I think? And that's what they were. They were just songs of mourning. But listen, in the end, the psalmist has no choice but to praise. Look at 144. Look at how these psalms, and I'm not going to read them all, of course, but this is how these psalms are written. Look at the first two verses of 144. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Look at 145, it says this: "I will extol thee." The word extol, we don't use that a lot. It means to enthusiastically praise. So it's like not just praise, but do it with as much enthusiasm as you can. And so here's what he's saying here: "I will enthusiastically praise you, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful, wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Do you hear the psalmist? Do you hear him? It's just praise. Notice all the nuance in the praise. Notice all the different ways. You're my strength. You're my protection. Let all the saints of God honor and praise the Lord. Let the next generation see the older generation praise the Lord and be inspired by their testimony of his wondrous acts. It's effusive. It's just dripping out of him praise. But we continue reading in 146. He says this, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Look at 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Just two more. Look at 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Look at 150 and we're done. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You see, the way I read David, all the words you understood, all the words our children could understand, but it is not the words, it's the heart from which it emanates is one of praise. So for just a moment, let's consider our psalm of praise to God. What is your psalm of praise? You can regale us of all the terrible tragedy in your life and the depths of depression that you might have experienced from time to time, and there's a time for that, but let's just set it all aside. What is your psalm of praise? So I want to tell you some of this morning, my psalm of praise. Thankful for Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me that David wrote these. And he knew Jesus, but he didn't know of Jesus. Does that make sense? The full revelation of God had not yet been given because his son had not come. And oh, what advantage that I feel today over David. I love the scriptures. But I especially love those scriptures about Jesus Christ. Setting all Bible study aside, setting all sermon aside, setting all book reading aside, setting aside all intellectual pursuit that we can make of all the religious things, the greatest thing that I ever do in my life is when I open up the words of the scripture and I read about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When everything else is filtered, there is a praise of that man. There is a uncontrolled acknowledgement and exaltation. Man, Lord, He is so good. When I think of His mercy towards me, day after day after day, I sin and I sin and I sin, and He is ever so faithful. As the psalmist writes, His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness is from eternity past to eternity future. God, I thought of Hebrews chapter 1, that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. That's amazing. Because if there's brightness, that insinuates darkness. Well, God's glory is not dark. And yet Jesus is the expressed brightness of God's greatness. That in Jesus Christ, whom I know. I'm not talking about a man in the Bible. I'm talking about the man I know, who I worship and bow down to morning and afternoon and evening. He is exalted. And I praise God that in this world He sent that man, Jesus Christ, to purge me of my sins, to cleanse me of my sins, to forgive me of my sins. God sent Jesus to do that. And I'm thankful today for His faithfulness and His goodness. And I desire that for the rest of my days, that praise each day of my life would emanate with as much potency or more as David's psalms of praise to God, but for His Son, who I know the name of. And David didn't. Jesus of Nazareth. I praise Him today. I praise Him that He saved you. I praise Him often for my salvation, but I praise Him for your salvation. I'm glad you can know what I know, that it's not some select group of people God died for. It's not some special group of people who are righteous or ascribed to the right religion or ascribed to the right doctrine that salvation is reserved for. I'm thankful that when a person repents of their sin and trusts Christ with all of their heart, that God will save anybody, anywhere, and that the fellowship that they enjoy with the Holy Spirit of God is something that rings familiar to my heart, and that I can come into the congregation of people who know the same God that I know and rejoice. And at the bottom of our rejoicing is this mutual knowledge that I know the triumph and the glory and the praise that is emanating. I know the flavor of it. I know the cause of it, because it's the same reminiscent thing that flows from my heart, and that is God is good and you know Him. You're not just repeating what I'm doing. You're not just falling in line with the culture that we can stir up some emotion or stir up some religious fervor, but that when praise comes, I'm thankful that God's people in unison who know Him can praise Him together with the saints. I've been thankful for this week. I've been thankful for your love of God and your love of each other this week. Be it hammering up some wood, hay, and stubble, or visiting people who are in need, or testifying of the Lord's goodness to somebody who's discouraged. All of those things through this body this week has been done. And I praise God that the motivation of that is not some humanitarian effort to make the world, quote unquote, a better place, but it's that our actions would go up to God as the sweet smelling savor and an offering of our love to Him and one another, and that through our actions, He would be praised. Because the way that we love one another is the way that we praise our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful this week for the peace that we have. Just all around peace. Peace in our country at the moment. Peace my whole life. Largely peace for your whole life. Thankful for peace. Thankful for peace in our church. You know how many times in the last few weeks I've thanked God that we've had a peaceful renovation? Sounds small, sounds silly maybe in the context of all this. You know how easy it is for a bunch of sinful human beings to come together and get their selfish wills in the way, and all the spiritual progress that can be made is just completely sabotaged by a paint color and a couple pieces of wood. I thank God for peace. Here. Thank God for peace in my home. I love going home. I love going home. Peace in my marriage. I praise God for it. May not be that way tomorrow. Maybe not next week or the next month or anything can befall any of us, but I'm thankful to God. I praise Him that the unifying bond in my marriage is not our similar interests. It's that we both love the Lord. I'm thankful to have a spouse who knows the Lord. I am. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have a spouse that's saved. I praise God for my children. I praise God for my health. We've learned that lately, haven't we, about our church? You go to the hospital and you see somebody who just a couple days earlier was running about. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Rummaging about into everything. One day, it all changes. I praise God for today. I praise Him. He is the author of it. Not my workout regimen. Not my healthy eating. God gives me health today. I'm thankful, as the song says, for the bright hopes for tomorrow. You know, those bright hopes are not necessarily relative to our country. It's not really bright, is it? Prospects of it, those aren't bright. Maybe you look at all your family misfortune and you say, you know, my bank account doesn't look like it's going to be bright tomorrow. Starting to feel the aches of pain in old age. That's not going to be bright tomorrow. But I'm thankful that the things that I really desire to be bright, God has ensured and predestined will be bright. I know Him. And He promises me in His Word. I use that word predestined. It's predetermined since I know Him. That I will never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. His faithfulness is going to be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And as I inch closer, as the Pilgrim's Progress discusses, to that valley, or excuse me, that river of death, I know it's coming. You know it's coming. And as I inch closer to that, I become more mindful of that. And its ominous shadow continues to grow just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit more. And it consumes just a little bit more of my thought. I'm thankful for the assurance that I have that when I go to cross the river, I'll not be alone. Praise God that at that moment, when everyone else has forsaken me, God will be right there. Oh, what a comforting thought. The height nor depth nor any other thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I praise Him today for the promises that I have to cling to for the future. I thank God for heaven today. Think about it. Think about heaven for just a moment with me. No more sorrow. No more sin. No more curse. No more planning, no more work, no more toil, no more decisions. You realize that? Decisions die in heaven. I hate decisions. I always got to make decisions. I hate decisions. I look forward to heaven. No more dying there. Isn't that a blessing? No more dying there. That's a good place to be. I'm thankful this morning. I'm going to close with this. Of all the things that perhaps we navigate in this life, all the emotions, all the trouble, all the things, I hope that the people who know you and me, that are closest to us, know that we end our psalm, no matter what, with praise to God. I heard something the other day that struck me. It said this about Adam. It said, did you notice that God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden? It's what in the midst, in the King James, it says in the midst of the garden. It means in the middle of the garden. So what it means was this, that Adam had to pass by all of God's abundance just to get to the one thing he didn't have. And he said, there's nothing more human nature than that. Walking by everything that we have to praise God for to identify the one thing that we find unpleasant. I thought, man, you know what? That's true. You know what I need to do? I need to go around to each tree and just praise God for it. Lord, look what you have provided. Here it is. Thank you. Lord, look at this over here. Yeah, I know I can't touch that over there, but I trust you. I know that by doing so, actually not touching it, thank you for allowing me to know what not to do that will harm me. I pray today, and I think what does the scripture say in Psalm 22? It says, God inhabits the praise of his people. You know what that means? He dwells in it. The praise of his people. So you want God to come around you? You ever feel like God's forsaking you for a while? Start praising him. Start praising him. God inhabits that. He runs to that. If it's sincere praise coming from an honest heart, God is near to that. I pray this morning, as you write the psalm of your life, that at the very top, under all, you know, all those chapter markings you've got, how underneath it has like Psalm of Asaph, Psalm of this. I hope the psalm under the 151st psalm of your life is just Psalm of Praise.